today's gospel reading for the message comes from Mark 3, 20 through 35. But before I do that, I just want to remind y'all that as this is Pride Month, so the welcome to the new week each week is going to be a verse that is aimed right at us. And this week's reading is about us understanding that we are wonderfully and uniquely knitted in that image of God. God knew us as we were knit in our mother's womb. There's other verses out there that I'll try to point out as we go through the month. One of my favorite is the verse, I believe it's in Isaiah, where we are reminded that God calls us by name. Amen? That's just not cheap stuff, man. That's serious stuff. God has looked at you and called you by name. Amen? All right, so today's reading comes from the third chapter of Mark, beginning with the 20th verse through verse 35. Jesus came home, and as usual, a crowd had gathered, so many making demands on him that there wasn't even time to eat. His friends heard what was going on, and they went to rescue him by force, if necessary. They suspected he was believing his own press. The religion scholars from Jerusalem came down spreading rumors that he was working black magic. Well, there's a lousy word. Amen. I should have changed that. I should have caught that. It has to do with being Satan. Amen. Satan. Working magic, using devil's tricks to impress them with spiritual power. Jesus confronted their slander with a story. Does it make sense to send a devil to catch a devil? To use Satan to get rid of Satan? A constantly squabbling family disintegrates. If Satan were fighting Satan, there soon wouldn't be any Satan left. Do you think it's possible in broad daylight to enter the house of an awake, able-bodied person and walk off with their possessions unless you tie them up first? Tie them up, though, and you can clean them out. Listen to this carefully. I am warning you. There is nothing done or said that can't be forgiven. But if you persist in your slanders against God's Holy Spirit, you are repudiating the very one who forgives. You are sawing off the branch on which you are sitting, severing it by your own perversity, all connection with the one who forgives. I gave this warning because they were accusing him of being in league with evil. Just then, his mother and brother showed up, and standing outside, they relayed a message that they wanted a word with him. He was surrounded by a crowd when he was given that message. Your mothers and brothers and sisters are outside looking for you. And Jesus responded, "Who do you think my mother and brothers are?" And looking around, taking in everyone seated around him, he said, "Right here, right in front of you, my mother and my brothers. Obedience is thicker than blood. The person who obeys God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother." This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, I come to you now as your servant, asking that the words that I speak this morning would not be mine, but they would be yours. Asking, O God, that those who hear and receive these words would receive them not only in their minds and in their hearts, but deep in their souls, O God, that place where only you and they go. Help us to understand, O God, this whole idea of fake news is not new. It's been around since Jesus' time. Help us to be able to recognize it and to be able to cast it aside.
Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Hello, hello, hello. I was telling before the service this morning that I deliberately titled this sermon, What is the Real Fake News? Because this passage is what it's all about, folks. Understand that if people disagree with you, they will make crap up. Amen? If they don't like you, they will say things about you that are designed to discredit you. You know how I know that that still happens? If there's anything that I always talk about that I hold dear to myself is my integrity. The fact that I play the game correctly. I won't cheat you. I won't lie to you. I'm transparent. You can see right through to my bone. And yet I was in a umpiring situation last week where somebody actually questioned my integrity. They started this whole story that I was pulling more for one team or another. Now, anybody who knows me as an umpire knows that that's an impossible thing. I am an equal opportunity offender, amen? If it's called a strike for one team, it's going to be a strike for another team. If the rule is enforced with one team, it's going to be enforced with another. But with that said, for those of you out there who might have got up this morning and said, oh my God, we're going to talk about pride. Do we have to keep talking about pride? Yes, we do. Because people continue to lie about us. People continue to say things about the LGBT community that are not true. They are, in fact, are lies. As a matter of fact, I saw something posted on Facebook this week that I thought was great. And it said this: you shouldn't pay attention to what they're saying because they have nothing new to say. Absolutely nothing new. They have been saying the same thing for hundreds of years. None of it has come to pass. God hasn't ended the world because of gay marriage. People didn't suddenly drop dead because somebody said that gay people deserve the same rights as everybody else. And the church, if you don't think that the church does this, my friends, you need to read that passage closer. This passage in Mark today shows us the defiant, revolutionary, creative, alternative Jesus. The Jesus that appeared to his elders, his peers, his community, his old school neighbors and family to have gone stark, raving mad. And why did they read it that way? Because he was saying that everybody belonged to God. He was telling people that the rules and the doctrine and the dogma didn't make any difference. What was the most important thing was your relationship with God. Are you in a relationship with God? And Jesus taught that that was open to any and all who would accept that invitation. He did some things that were strange. He made uncomfortable claims. He dared to buck the system. He stood up to the judgments and societal more in ways that no one had ever seen before. You remember when that dude got dropped through his roof of his house? You remember that? And what was the first words that Jesus said to him when they came eye to eye? You are forgiven. And oh my God, the religious leaders at that point got all chesty and said, oh no, only God can forgive. And of course, Jesus' response was, well, I'll tell you what, which is easier? To forgive someone their sins or tell them to get up and walk? Well, you know what? Never mind. Sir, get up, take your mat, walk, go home. And what Jesus' point was, he wasn't claiming himself to be God, but he was declaring what our relationship with God is all about. It is not about living in fear of going to hell. It is not about living in fear of judgment. God made you. Be proud of that. Accept that you are wonderfully and uniquely made in the image of God. God is not going to toss you into hell if you're made in God's image. Everybody know who Elliot Page is?
Oh, no.
Amen. You don't? Oh, well, I'll help you. Elliot Page is a new actor, was an actress, now an actor. She's in the middle, they are in the middle of transitioning from female to male. And, of course, that just made it all over the news, right? Oh, my God, they're awful. God's going to hate them. You're desecrating God, etc., etc. And you want to know what Elliot Page said? The world would be a whole lot better if we just made an effort to be less horrible to one another. How can Satan cast out Satan? You see, that is the point that Jesus is making here, folks. God didn't create you as you are to throw you out in the trash. God did not give you the gifts that you have been given only to laugh at you and tell you that you do not belong because you don't do it the way some religious leader tells you that you're supposed to do it. King Duncan, who's an incredible preacher, came up with this story about the ridiculousness of the church, and I'm going to leave you with that this morning. Dr. Eugene Bryce tells a story about a minister who returned to visit a church that he had once served, and he ran into one of the members by the name of Bill, who had been an elder and a leader in the church, but who wasn't around anymore. And when the pastor asked Bill, "What happened? You used to be there every time the doors opened." "Well, Pastor, a difference of opinion arose in the church. Some of us couldn't accept the final decision, and we established our own church." "Is that where you worship now?" asked the pastor. No, answered Bill. "We found that there, too, people were not faithful, and a small group of us began meeting in a rented hall at night." "Oh, well, has that proven satisfactory?" "No, I can't say that it has," Bill responded. "Satan was active even in that fellowship, so my wife and I withdrew, and we've begun to worship on Sunday at home by ourselves." "Well, when was the last time you found inner peace?" "Well, I really am afraid I haven't. Even my wife began to develop ideas I was not comfortable with, and so now she worships in the northeast corner of the living room, and I am in the southwest corner." Brothers and sisters, this is really simple arithmetic. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And then all we have to do is remember what it was that Jesus taught. "I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me." And when the group stood around a woman and wanted to stone her to death, Jesus said, "Let the first one without sin cast that first stone." When they said that this person was caught by the devil and was throwing themselves and convulsing themselves, Jesus took them by the hand and they walked away healed. Amen. Listen to me now. This has never been about separating from God or being cast out. That is the lie of the church. And they've been telling that lie for 2,000 years. I'm here to tell you this morning that you are loved by God. You are called by name. And Jesus Christ gave his life to prove that point. God bless you. this morning.